We have to stop the revisionist history on Brian Gutekunst. Plus, what players might the Packers want in a potential Aaron Rodgers trade? And could a player be the linchpin of this trade, not a pick? And there's more, but wait, there's more. Some players left in free agency that the Packers might consider after all of this other stuff gets dealt with. All of that coming up on today's show.
You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table. We're going to do it.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Caught.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You are Locked On Packers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet. And the show for fans who know what happened, they want to know why and how. Oh, a lot to catch up on. Because Packer Nation went to war against Pat McAfee, which was not something I saw coming. And I don't want to talk about that directly, but a topic that I think is very much connected to what this disagreement is about, and certainly what I have heard from Jets fans about what I've heard from Packer fans who are annoyed and frustrated with where this is going, that they are in fact going to trade Aaron Rodgers. And for some of them, it wouldn't matter no matter what, this was going to be the front office's fault. But there is this idea that Brian Gutekunst is somehow a bad GM, a bottom five GM I've seen. Let's just review the track record. So the draft record and history is inconsistent, as is every GM ever to have GM'd ever. But go back to 2018 in a draft where they needed to fix a defense. They needed to fix the secondary and the second level defenders. Trades to get a future first round pick in an objectively awesome trade process wise. And then moved back up to get Jair Alexander, who turned into an all-pro corner. He takes a worthy swing on Josh Jackson. Josh Jackson, a player that many, many, many in the media had as a potential first-round player. That is a more than worthy swing. Okay, Oren Burks, project, but physical tools, becomes a core special teamer. That pick was fine, because he became a core special teams player. And then you hit on Marquez Valdes-Scantling on day three. He helps you in a meaningful way in your offense. Goes on, signs a second contract for $10 million a year. Clearly the league thinks this is a useful player. He goes and wins a Super Bowl with Kansas City. You sign an all-pro corner, or draft an all-pro corner, and you get a future first-round pick. You get a special teams core player. I don't know why I keep saying sign. And a starting caliber receiver that ends up getting $10 million on the open market, that's a pretty good draft. Now, 2019, you signed this banner class, and we wrote about this on The Leap recently. It is actually incredible to do what Brian Gutekunst did that offseason, to go out and spend money on Billy Turner. That looked like an overpay. It turned out to be maybe an underpay. Billy Turner was a vital piece on the offensive line for those 3 years in Green Bay. You get Za'Darius Smith. That looked like an overpay. It wasn't. He was an all-pro caliber player from relative obscurity, not even a full-time player. And the Packers pro personnel scouting staff found him and said, this guy is worth paying. Look at the pressure rates. Look at the smaller sample size stuff. And you get an all-pro caliber rusher. That was a personality problem. He was not happy in the locker room and made that known. He is not, as of this recording, is still on Minnesota, but is not going to be on Minnesota much longer in all likelihood. And so that's a different kind of thing. Preston Smith still on the team. Stalwart at the position has gotten an extension. Adrian Amos, especially for those first three seasons, was a terrific player, fell off a little bit last year. We'll see what happens with him. To go 4-for-4 and to allocate almost $200 million over the life of those contracts is remarkable and is way out of character for the Green Bay Packers. Ted Thompson never did anything even close to that aggressive. And to go 4-for-4 when you're spending that much money, I can't impress enough on you that just does not happen. It doesn't happen. Now, you can look at like the Eagles offseason last year. They trade for A.J. Brown. They give him the big contract. They bring in Javon Hargrave. They bring in Hassan Reddick. Like they did a pretty good facsimile of it, but they didn't spend that kind of money. Now, the A.J. Brown contract might have knocked it out of whack, but this is what I mean. It's the kind of thing that propels you to the NFC Championship game, which is exactly what it did for Green Bay, that 2019 team. Now, that's just free agency. Now you go into the draft. Rashawn Gary has become a Pro Bowl caliber player, and before he got hurt, had a chance to be an All-Pro this last season. Premium position player. Darnell Savage, promising young career, not quite sure exactly what happened there. We'll see what he does this season as the nickel corner, if that is in fact where he's going to play. But even if you are like, okay, that's, you know, it was a worthy gamble at a need position. He played really well and just didn't develop the way that you had hoped. But the talent was there. That was a good pick. Then you have Elgton Jenkins, a Pro Bowl, All-Pro kind of player. To get two of those guys in one draft is remarkable. It's like that stuff doesn't happen. And so that is kind of the basis for your defense now. Rashawn Gary, Elgton Jenkins on your line. Like, even though the rest of the draft, you know, Jay Sternberger obviously didn't work out, Kingsley Keke was a good player for you. That became an attitude problem. He was not coachable. You go to the 2020 draft. Now, I understand the problem people had with the 2020 draft and T. Higgins and all that stuff. But Jordan Love is going to be the starting quarterback this year. A.J. Dillon has become a crucial part of the Packers offense, was one of the most efficient and by some metrics, the most efficient running back in football in 2021, was good, especially in the second half last year. Josiah DeGuara, look, didn't love the pick then, don't love the pick now. He was drafted to fill a specific role, and then Aaron Rodgers didn't want to play that way. He's going to play that way this year. I think we kind of need to be in wait-and-see mode with that. And then John Runyon Jr. in the sixth round, starter, capable starter at guard. Jake Hansen, a rotation player, an NFL player in the sixth round. Jonathan Garvin, he is a rotate. Now, is he a great player? Do you want to play a lot of snaps? No, but in the seventh round to get a guy like that, that's really useful. Eric Stokes as a rookie showed like Pro Bowl, All Pro kind of upside, was a very good football player as a rookie. Had a little bit of a regression. Josh Myers, we'll wait and see. Amari Rodgers, obviously a miss, but Royce Newman started a full season. He is clearly not a priority starter, but to get a player who is a solid swing guard and tackle in the fourth round, really useful. TJ Slayton in the fifth round, really useful player. Isaiah McDuffie in the sixth, really useful player. And then this last draft, an absolute home run. An absolute. Christian Watson is a star. Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom, Kingsley Enagbare, all real meaningful contributors to this team, all project to be either starters or high-level rotation-level players. Quay Walker, starter. Devontae Wyatt, probably going to be a starter. Tariq Carpenter looks like a core special teams guy. Samori Toure. And then you think of some of these patched-together signings, the Rick Wagners and the Devin Funchesses. And then you say, okay, well, then they went out and they got Devondre Campbell, who played like an All-Pro. They went out and they got Rasul Douglas, who didn't make the All-Pro team but played in half a season like an All-Pro in 2021. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Devontae Adams wanted to be traded. They were willing to make him the highest paid player at the position in the league. Devontae Adams wanted to be traded in part because he didn't know what the future was with Aaron Rodgers. Hello? This is not a Brian Gutekunst problem. They did what Aaron Rodgers wanted last offseason and signed Aaron Rodgers. And now they're going to have to eat $40 million in dead cap if they trade him because Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play out the contract that when the Packers signed it, they assumed he was going to play at least two more seasons. They said that when they signed him, and they said that this offseason. They assumed this contract was going to go longer than it is clearly going to go. So this idea that a GM that built three consecutive 13-win teams that went 4-for-4 in big money free agency, that just knocked this last draft absolutely out of the park in a draft where one of your first round picks barely plays and your third round pick doesn't play at all and gets suspended for PEDs, is still an absolute unmitigated success. Think about that. That is remarkable. And then this idea that like Joe Douglas is some evil genius. Yes, he had a good draft last year. Sauce Gardner, awesome football player. Garrett Wilson, awesome football player. Why did they have two top 10 picks? Well, one of them was a trade. Great. Jamal Adams, you fleeced the Seahawks on that one. Great. But what was the other one for? It was because the team stunk. They were terrible. And then this past season played better because they had these two top 10 picks that played really good football. But the quarterback, you can't just say, oh, well, everything has been great, but they missed on the top two quarterback that they took when they could have taken Justin Fields or Mac Jones or Trey Lance or these other guys. Now, we don't know if those guys are really any better than Zach Wilson. Mac Jones, better than Zach Wilson. Now, we don't know by a lot. Justin Fields, better runner, certainly. You can't erase that. I mean, what are they, 20 games under 500 in the Joe Douglas era? They said, well, that's a quarterback problem. Okay, that's the GM's job. It's like people who say, well, Ted Thompson, if you take Aaron Rodgers away, what does he have? That's not how this works. And it's one of the reasons why someone like Chris Ballard in Indianapolis is taking some heat, because it's fine to be the smartest guy in the room, and you make smart trades and you have some good drafts. If you don't get the quarterback position right, you are going to be out of a job. And guess who was, in fact, on the brink of being out of a job? Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh. Go back and look at what was being written in the New York media in November and December, because they looked like a lock to make the playoffs in November. And they could not stop losing games. Mike White gets hurt. Zach Wilson stinks. Joe Flacco is Joe Flacco. They blow a game early in the year to the Browns. And it was, if you don't fix this offseason, you are getting fired. That is the story in New York. So we have the genius GM who is on the brink of getting fired if he doesn't fix the quarterback position. And on the other side, we have a guy whose team won 13 games three straight years and put together some of the best rosters in the league over that time is a moron? That's what we're doing? I mean, how transparent do you have to be? The you know, whether it is water carrying, whether it is bias, whether whatever it is, you know, look, I don't even want to, in every case, ascribe malicious intent to it. A little bit of Hanlon's razor. But this is ridiculous. It is patently ridiculous, and it needs to stop. All right, more on all of this, and especially that roster that Joe Douglas put together. Are there some players on it that the Packers might want? Before we get there, today's episode brought to you by our friends at Ultimate Football GM. You think you can do Brian Gutekunst's job better than Brian Gutekunst? Here's your chance to prove it. Ultimate Football GM, where you can control and manage every strategic aspect of the team as you play through seasons and lead your team to glory to build a historic dynasty. With the Ultimate Football GM, you're responsible for controlling the destiny of your franchise in every facet. Coaches, coordinators, finances, player salaries, everything, free agency, draft, player personnel, the ups and downs, all of it. Ultimate Football GM is completely free and playable offline. Play on the go as you want, where you want to. I was just on an airplane. I needed some games. Ultimate Football GM, guess what? I can play it offline. So I don't just have to do my Sudoku, which I also did. Locked On Packers listeners get a 100% free boost for their franchise when you use the promo code Locked On in the game. So that's Locked On to make sure to check it out today. Download the game. Just visit ultimate-gm.com to look it up in the app. So that's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM. Start your dynasty today. So we got a report out of New York with Rich Kamini at ESPN about a player who could be in the mix. And Tom Silverstein, he polled executives. They thought this was going to be a premium pick. Two of them thought first round pick. Three of the four thought the price went up post McAfee. If we're going to talk about, you know, some of these leverage things. And there has been reports from the start that there's players involved here. That this is not just going to be a Rodgers for picks situation. And I had heard that at the beginning, the player that the Packers had sort of zeroed in on was Jermaine Johnson, the second former first round pick. And he didn't get to play a ton last year, but athletic pass rusher, someone who played at Florida State, was a breakout player 2 years ago, big, physical, has a lot of the tools you look for, plays a premium position. He's the kind of guy that if you're not going to get a first round pick, if that is what the quibble is, if the Jets are going, you're not getting 13, which, you know, I don't want to dive into all of the rehash, all the leverage stuff. But if you give up a guy who was just a first round pick, it is, in a way, giving the Packers a first round pick. The problem with this is the guaranteed money. So because he was just a first round pick, his contract has a bunch of guaranteed money on it. The Jets would have to make some room. Now, if Corey Davis is in the deal, and by the way, Corey Davis is, he's going to be in the deal. It saves the Jets $10 million to move on from him. The only reason he is still on the roster is so that he can be in this trade. Otherwise they would have cut him already to save $10 million. Duh. He's going to be in the trade. But so you're backfilling and then some what you're losing in flexibility with the Jermaine Johnson trade. That is just one option that's been put out there. When I first heard the name, it made sense. Okay, it's going to be 13 Jermaine Johnson and a conditional pick. That was sort of what I was hearing, or at least that was what the Packers were going to ask for. And then I stopped hearing that name. And then Rodgers went on McAfee and it seemed like the tune changed. And when Rodgers, so this is so interesting. When Rodgers said something changed after the darkness retreat, I think that was true. Something changed over the last couple months in negotiations. Because Rodgers knew going into the darkness retreat that the Packers were talking to the Jets. He said it. He responded to reports about it on the record on, of all shows, the McAfee show. So what I find interesting is he mentioned, okay, things change when he's talking about the feeling from the team. And I think what actually changed is the Packers saying, actually, we want more. And the reason you go on McAfee, if you're Rodgers, is to alert the world. And I think Aaron thought he was doing the Jets a solid. I think he thought he was backing the Packers into a corner to say, okay, now this is where I want to go. I'm letting the world know there are no other suitors that can come in over the top. There's nothing to drive the price up. You have to pay what the Jets want. And the exact opposite thing has happened because now the Jets have to make this deal. And so my understanding is, I've been making this joke, yesterday's price is not today's price. That seems to be a real thing here. That there was a deal more or less in place. The Packers, weren't able to get it done for whatever reason. And Rodgers went on McAfee. And then the Packers said, you know what? You have to do this trade. So the price has gone up. We need this. And I'm doing an informed speculation here. That what they've asked for is that first round pick. I don't know if they had settled on a second before. I'm just sort of putting the pieces together here based on what I've heard and what has been reported. That they're stuck on that first round pick. So now I'm just sort of trying to read the tea leaves here. Okay, Jermaine Johnson, now that name gets put back out there. Maybe what ends up happening is the Jets offer 43, Jermaine Johnson, Corey Davis, and whatever future conditional pick it's going to be. Now, Adam Schefter has had, I'm sorry if this hurts your feelings, but Adam Schefter has had the best info on the Rodgers stuff all along. I actually talked to a very well-connected media person, someone whose name you definitely know, who has definitely had big scoops, national media, and I was talking to them, and they said, Schefter has the best info on all of this. Whatever Schefter says is the truth when it comes to Aaron Rodgers. Someone who, by the way, does not benefit from telling me that. He predicted the Packers are going to need a first-round pick. Okay. I would be surprised if they got 13 and Jermaine Johnson and a future pick. So then it becomes what matters to you. Would you rather have 43, the player, and the future pick, or 13 and the player, and that's it? I think reasonable people can disagree on that. There are some other players to be interested in from this team. Jordan Whitehead is a safety. That has been a player that I think a lot of Packer fans have talked about potentially wanting. Michael Carter II, the corner. Carl Lawson is a name that I have mentioned because moving on from him would save the Jets at something like $13 million. And they have a good pass rush without him. I mean, that's the thing, is Quinnen Williams and Quincy Williams as a blitzer. And they drafted Jermaine Johnson. John Franklin Myers has done a good job for them. They have some nice players here, plus the draft. There's a lot of pass rushers in this draft. That could be a direction that they go. Corey Davis is going to be in this draft or in this trade. The question is, what else are you able to get? And the answer is, we'll see. All right, I want to just highlight a couple free agent names here at the end, guys who are still on the market. Before we get that, today's episode brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. What a game last night. The Bucks come back to beat the Toronto Raptors. They blew, I think, a 20-point lead in January against the Raptors. They came back to win this one, did not blow it. Get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 on FanDuel. That's right, bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel lets you combine your bets for a chance at bigger payouts with the same game parlay. So don't miss your chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. And thanks for making Locked On Packers your first listen every day. Now make your second listen Locked On NFL Draft. Damian Parson and Keith Sanchez provide in-depth coverage of the biggest NFL draft prospects with deep dives into sleepers and hidden gems that can change your favorite team's NFL franchise. Presumably it's the Packers, but there's some Jets fans listening. Shout out to you. Find Locked On NFL Draft wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every single day. A couple of names I want to highlight here. There are some safeties on the market. I think the Packers wanted to be in the market at safety. I think part of the reason that they have been, you know, a little bit hesitant with some of these bigger names. Usually we hear, oh, the Packers were in on X, Y, and Z. Well, they have a pretty big domino that they're trying to get fallen. They signed Tarvarius Moore, someone who's going to be a mostly special teams player for them. They also re-signed Rudy Ford. He's coming back. They signed a new long snapper whose name you're going to forget next year when they cut him and sign a new one. But that's pretty par for the course with the Packers free agency. Early on, they're just going to sign guys like this. The fact that Dalton Schultz's market has not materialized in a meaningful way is interesting to me. That is a player who can play in line. He can play wide. If you can get him on a sort of prove it deal, a multi-year deal, Big Bob Tonyan goes to the Bears. Mercedes Lewis has been rumored to New York. You do not have a tight end room. They brought back Tyler Davis. That's great. Tyler Davis, Josiah DeGuara. I'm being sarcastic about that. That's great. Are the only guys you have there. You're going to draft somebody, probably early. It'd be nice to sign a veteran. Dalton Schultz, definitely on that list. At safety, I keep bringing up John Johnson III. It's a name that just makes so much sense. For the Packers, played for Joe Barry, knows this defense, can be a sort of jack of all trades for them, and then gives them some flexibility with how they want to handle the safety position, whether it's Russell Douglas, whether it's in the draft, whatever it is that they want to do. Some receivers that you might be interested in, if like Corey Davis is going to be in this trade. So that affects this too. Like if you're going to get Jermaine Johnson, that affects your draft strategy. If you're going to get Corey Davis, that affects your free agent strategy. If you're not going to get Corey Davis, and maybe they just cut him and then you sign him and it's fine, then maybe you think about a Marvin Jones or some of you, like they need a veteran receiver. Their receiver room is bare other than the rookies. And by bare, I mean non-existent. I missed Bo Melton the other day. Shout out Bo Melton, who I liked coming out of school. So I'm sorry that I missed him. It's Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Samori Toure, and Bo Melton. It's four 2022 rookies. You need someone in there that has been there before to help Jordan Love. And so that's why someone like Corey Davis makes a lot of sense. All right, we're going to be back tomorrow. Maybe we will have a resolution to all of this. Maybe we won't. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you'll find Locked On Packers. And anytime you want to come hang out with us live on YouTube, like when the Aaron Rodgers news breaks, you can do that so you can stay Locked On Packers.